Everybody take a deep breath and say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. And there's so much truth in that. Praising the Lord with your breath. If you wake up every morning and haven't been breathing, then you're blessed. Amen. You know, as we look at our word today in John chapter 5, we realize that a lot of people carry a lot of burdens. Would you agree with me on that? I mean, hearts are broken from disappointments or betrayal, or whether it's stress that you're dealing with or loneliness perhaps you're fighting off, or anxiety is rampant, especially during this time that we're in of this pandemic. Many people are still working at home, so addiction to alcohol and drugs are at an all-time high. I mean, even people who are supposed to have their act together still suffer from the tribulations that life seems to send our way many times. Because you see, we're not perfect. Even though we're believers in Christ today in church and worshiping His name, we're not perfect. Because in some ways we're all diseased. The disease of sin. The disease of things that just overtake us many times. But the good news is on many occasions when Jesus was here during His earthly ministry, He would seek out the broken people. He would seek out those who are messed up and those diseased men and women to heal them. And He does that still today. But Jesus didn't always do the things the way the people expected Him to in healing them. Because sometimes Jesus' healing was painful. Many times when Jesus would heal somebody, He'd say, go and sin no more. And they'd say, they'd get a perplexed look on their face and say, okay, thanks. Not really understanding what He meant by that. They just wanted a Band-Aid. They just wanted a quick fix. They wanted a quick healing. They wanted a sore gone here or there. They wanted to walk, but they didn't understand quite what Jesus was getting to the root of. Because it required people to face the truth about themselves. And people just don't like to face the truth about themselves. They still don't like to do that today. But we serve a God who is truth and who reveals the truth to us through His Word. Words like impossible or incurable, they don't apply when God is part of the equation many times. And seeing miracles happen in our lives and in the lives of others are in some ways up to us to have those happen in our lives that God wants to perform in our lives, those miracles. And in our text today, in John chapter 5, it reads, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, lame, blind, and withered, and waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool, and he stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in, and was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been there 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he'd already been in a long time in that condition. That's interesting. Jesus knows our conditions. He knows what we're going through. He said to him, do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the well when the water is stirred up, because whenever I'm coming, then another steps down before me. And so Jesus therefore said to him, arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately he became well, and he took up his pallet and he began to walk. That man that Jesus healed had been in that physical situation because of an unaddressed spiritual problem. And you say, wait a minute, Eric, it just says he was lame. It doesn't say anything about a spiritual issue there. But there was. There was a spiritual issue, because if you'll look down in verse 14 of that passage, Jesus says, sin anymore, that had led to his physical and visible circumstance that he was in. Why did Jesus say that to him after he healed him? You see, most of us, we go to the doctor when self-help won't work or when we can't Google it. I know many doctors get frustrated, including my daughter, when people try to Google their symptoms and their diagnosis and cure and come to her and say, do this. We go to the doctor when mama's remedies don't work. You call up mom and say, what do I do on this? And she tells you and you try it and it doesn't work. We go to the medicine cabinet and many times that won't work. And we go to the pharmacy and ask the pharmacist, what do you got for me that you can get that I can get across the counter without a prescription that can help me or make me feel better? That's when we appeal to somebody who will not be satisfied simply just to hear your symptoms. We appeal to somebody who won't be satisfied simply to see just the external dilemmas we're facing, what's happening on the outside. No, now we have to deal with somebody who can take pictures of you on the inside. We now have to deal with somebody who's going to know a little bit more in depth of what we're going through because of similar people going through the same situation. Because a doctor, he or she has the capacity that the average person does not have through their knowledge, through their studies, through their wisdom, through their technology available to them. And they have the advantage and the ability to get to the root of what's causing your external symptoms. And many of us have remained in an extended period of time in the circumstances that we're in, and they have not changed because of spiritual issues. Spiritual issues that perhaps may have brought them about that have not been addressed. And I'm a practical guy. When you're sick, you're sick. Just because you get the flu doesn't mean that you did something bad to somebody, so now you got the flu. You got the flu because you just happened to be where a flu bug was floating in the air and you got it. But there are things that happen in our lives that can be caused from spiritual issues. Unforgiveness probably is the biggest one. Bitterness is another, because bitterness sprouts up from unforgiveness. It says that in James, that a root of bitterness does not spring up. Watch out for those roots. I've been weeding our rock flower bed this week, a little bit a day, and I can pull the crabgrass up by just lumps. It pulls out easy. But every now and then, there's some long roots in there. And you have to just pull and pull those things. And that's the same thing in our life spiritually. Because spiritual issues can come about in our lives that we don't address or that we refuse to address because we just keep pushing it behind. We don't want to face it. We don't want to deal with it. I can't deal with that right now. But unless and until spiritual causes for the external problems that we have or address, those symptoms are always going to remain with you until something happens. I'm so glad that we got a kneeling bench and brought it over from Ground Zero. We have a kneeling bench. We've had some say, do you have anything to kneel on? The stairs are okay, but they're just not quite the same as a bench to kneel down. And sometimes I just want to unload some things. Many people want their circumstances changed, but they don't want their spiritual condition being altered in any way. I want to say that again. Many people want the circumstances in their life changed without their spiritual condition being altered. I want to come to church. I want to hear the word. I want to sing. I want to go home. Make God happy so that nothing happens to me. But all the while, you have things in here that have been festering, that have been just stewing, that have been just subsiding like a cancer waiting to spread. The man told Jesus, he says, I want to get better, but I don't have any human help. When you're in a dilemma and God doesn't raise up a human to help you, a homo sapien to change your situation, it's because that he doesn't want to use a human being to change your situation, but rather he wants to change it himself. And the man said, I want to get well, but there's no human help available to make me better. And that's when Jesus said in verse 8, he said, arise, take up your pallet then, and walk. If you notice, there's a whole lot going in on that short phrase that Jesus said. Get up, take up, and move on. That's three movements in that one small phrase that Jesus told the man. Now, we also have to understand something, and that is that the man is also being commanded to do the very thing that he's unable to do. He's unable to get up. He's unable to take up and to move on. And that's why he needs a man to help him to get to the water, because he is unable to do what God commands him to do. He is to pick up his bed, and I like that phrase because it's used regularly in the New Testament, take up your bed and walk. He wants to be able to pick up the bed that he depended upon and to carry the bed with him. And so that tells us that the power to be able to pull off what God expects of us is built into that command that God speaks to us. He didn't have the power in and of himself to do what he was asked to do, so the command that Jesus told him provided the enablement for him to rise and get up and walk. And the point is this, that there's no divine expectation that God has for you or me that does not have built into it the enablement to be able to pull off that expectation that he asks you to do. That's why the Holy Spirit is here, to help us to do those things. It's the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Word of God that God has given us. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Helper or the Enabler. I want to tell you today, and I want to stress it very seriously, that you want to get to know God better, this is where you're going to find Him. I remember when I was young and I said, who are you, God? And he said, read my word. You'll find me. You'll know me. And so I read the word of God all the way through, and it was the most incredible journey of my life. And I knew the Lord God on a more personal, deeper level. And he was able to speak to me from these boring words that we look at and carry the Bible with us all the time to church or to special events or functions that include church. Sometimes we don't even pay attention to it until the preacher tells us to turn to a particular passage. But I'm here to tell you, your healing is in here. Your direction, your wisdom is in here. Now, granted, we can have all the believers pray for you and appeal to God on His throne for your condition. But until you rise up and get up and walk, it's in here. You can't depend on people to pray you through your condition all the time. Although I'm not going to negate that. We are prayer of faith. And that's what we do. We approach the throne of God boldly and confidently and humbly, might I add, and pray for you and your situations. But this is Jesus speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And His job is to help you pull off the command that God has given you that gives you the impression that this is not going to be able to pull off. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. How many times have you read the Bible and you saw a divine expectation perhaps that God was prompting you to do, and you're saying to yourself, man, I can't do that right now at this time in my life. Well, you're just like the man that says, not only I can't do it, but I don't have anybody here to help me do it. But the power to pull off the expectation that was on this man from Jesus was built into Jesus' command. Because this word of God is powerful. this word of God is sharp and it will cut through to your core. Amen? Amen. Arise, take up your pallet, and walk immediately. In verse 9, the man became well, and he took up his pallet, and he began to walk. But look at verse 8 again. Please note in verse 8 that Jesus called him to do something, because faith for the Christian is acting like God's telling you the truth. Faith isn't just rooted in your feeling about what God is telling you. It's acting like God's telling you the truth and acting upon it. Now, feelings, I don't want to negate feelings totally. They just have to be guided. But it's in your faith that has to be demonstrated through a function. Let me put it another way. He would have never realized that he could arise and take up his bed and walk until he arose, took up his bed, and walked. He could have sat down there thinking about it and meditating on it and maybe even had a prayer meeting regarding it. Maybe he could have had somebody bring him to Wednesday night prayer service and pray over him for a prayer meeting and say, I need you all to pray for me because Jesus told me to pick up my bed and walk, and I just need you all's prayer. Would y'all pray for me? Because after 38 years, I've been laying here and I am unable to do it. But he would have never discovered the power of God's word until he acted on it. And that's why I want to say again, the power of God's word lies within your reach. It was the action. It was the action in regard to the word that demonstrated the word that was acted on had the power to produce what the word said it could. Many of us have yet to discover the power of the word because we're still discussing it and we're still having Bible studies about it. We're getting professional opinions regarding the word rather than just stepping out on it. Arise, take up your pallet and walk, and immediately the man became well. 38 years of suffering solved in an instant. Now, the question is this. Why does it take 38 years of suffering before a solution is gained? Because it took 38 years for him to be made willing to be made well God's way. See, this guy was depending upon man's help for 38 years. I need someone to drag me down to that pool. I keep crawling and crawling, but everybody beats me to it. I need somebody to help me. You can't bring your cure to God for your situation. You cannot bring to God your cure for your situation. Because God may want to heal you differently first before he takes care of the external. You see, this world's not our final resting place, by the way. We love it here. This is all we know. This is where our family is. But this world isn't our final destination. God has a cure for your situation, but it may not be the way that you think it is. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman had leprosy, which was a skin disease, and there was no solution. I mean, he was going to die. You know, there was no cure for leprosy back in those days. And somebody said, well, you know, there's this prophet I know named Elisha down there, and I hear that he can hear sick folk. He can heal sick folk. So Naaman, what he does is he gathers up all his money in case this guy needs a good payment for what he wants done. He gathers up all his soldiers in case this guy needs something, some task performed. He'll have plenty of help with him so he can assign his soldiers to do it. So you have a general and all his army. I mean, this guy has his posse with him. He's heading down there. And they make their way down to Elisha. And Naaman knocks on the door, and this little servant girl comes to the door, and she says, yes. And Naaman says, I'm Naaman. He says, I'm here to see the prophet Elisha. And she said, may I deliver him a message? And Naaman says, yes, I'm a leper, and I've come because I hear that Elisha has the power to heal. And the servant girl says, well, just a minute, sir. she goes back and tells Elisha. She says, the Naaman, the general, he's at the door and he wants to see you. And he wants to see you about curing his leprosy. And Elisha says, just tell him to go down the Jordan River and dip 7 times. So she goes to Naaman and says, my master, Elisha the prophet, says to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman says, what? And the servant girl says, yes, my master said to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman says, look, we have a couple of problems here. First of all, I'm Naaman, and I did not come to talk to you. I came to talk to him. So the first problem is, what is Elisha doing sending a servant girl out here to give me any kind of instruction? I'm Naaman. I'm a general of an army. You see, one of the reasons God has to give a cure is because God's cure will always demand your humility. It's not you placing demands on God. It's you following instruction. Well, the second problem Naaman had is the Jordan River was dirty. He said, well, wait a minute. I don't have a problem being dipped in any water by all means, but at least give me some clean water. The Jordan River, it's just a dirty river. He says, I've got a couple of rivers I know that are within short traveling distance that are much cleaner than the Jordan River. Can I at least do that? And then one of Naaman's men said to him, he said, excuse me, sir. But if the prophet would have asked you to do a difficult thing, would you have not have done it? How much more is this easy thing to do that he's asking? Even though I know that you may not like it. So Naaman says, well, good point. So he goes down to the Jordan River and he dips 1 time down and he dips 2 times down, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. He still has his leprosy and he's like, is this thing going to work? 6 times he's dipping down, then goes down finally for a 7th time, and the Bible says that he comes up and his skin is like that of a skin of a baby. Do you know why? Because he did what God had told him to do. Now, he could have got all mad about the situation with an attitude, and he could have died a leper. Or he could have decided, you know, maybe God's humbling me. Maybe he wants me to go his way. So this man, he takes up his pallet and he begins to do something he could not do for 38 years. And that's a big deal. We know that's a big deal. How do we know it's a big deal? Because whenever the other Jews saw it, they went off. It made them so mad. They wanted to know, who did this thing to you? I mean, they should have been rejoicing about this fact that this guy that had been at that pool for 38 years, they saw all the time, was healed. But instead, they just started fussing and cussing. Verse 12, who told you to take up your pallet and walk? But he who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Jesus, heal me so I can give a testimony. Wait a minute, where are you, Jesus? Sometimes God doesn't want to heal you just so you'll have a testimony. So that you can tell others how great God is and how he healed you. Sometimes he just wants to get you right first. We always try to bargain with God. And after which Jesus saw him in the temple. And he said to him, behold, you've become well, I see. Do not sin anymore. So that a worse thing may befall you. Now we don't know what this guy did or what Jesus was talking about, because Jesus is very personal with us. He doesn't like to shout things, hey, this guy, let me tell you what he did and why I healed him and why I told him not to do it anymore. Jesus cuts right through to our heart. And it's kind of deep, because if you had something that messed with you for 38 years, there just doesn't seem anything comprehensible that can be any worse than that. But there was. What would it feel like to you if Jesus had come to your need, whatever you have in your life, whatever it is, and said to you, rise up. Take the situation that you've been laying on, towing it around, rather than you being able to tote it around. You see, because whenever you lay on your bed has hold of you. Many people, we experience that on Sunday mornings. Many people, the bed has hold of many people. But whenever you carry your pallet like a sleeping bag, then you're carrying it. How many of you may be in situations you're dealing with now that are carrying you rather than you carrying it? See, the problem that used to hold him in our story, the man, he is now holding it, his pallet. He's not dragging it around. He's holding it. He can carry it with him. The situation that caused him to lie down has now been rolled up and is now being carried by him. How long are you going to let that thing keep you down when you can rise up, roll it up, and carry it on? How long are you going to let it guide you? There were two hunters who were out hunting, and they came upon what seemed to be like an abandoned farm. I mean, the barn was sagging and the house was in disrepair. There were junk cars, there were car parts laying everywhere. And the only thing that made it look like a working farm was that there were a few chickens pecking around, and there was an old goat that was wandering around. So they entered the yard and they saw this old well, and you know, just out of naturally curiosity, it's like, I wonder how deep this well is. And the other hunter said, well, let's just drop something down there and listen for the splash. It'll kind of give us a good idea of how deep the well was. And they looked around for something to drop down in the well, but the only thing by was an old car transmission. And so both of them picked it up and walked over to the well to drop it in, and then as soon as they dropped it in, they counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, splash. And it was a deep well. It was a very deep well. So they turned to leave, and they saw that this goat was charging after them, head down and horns headed straight to them. And at the last moment, these two guys jumped off to the side, and the goat went right past them, right over that side and down the well. And they kind of looked at each other in amazement. And they started to leave when the owner of the farm came up. And they chatted for a moment with the farmer, and they got permission to be able to hunt on his land. And then the farmer asked them, he said, have you guys seen my goat? And they said, yes, we did. The goat almost killed us trying to charge at us. You need to have that thing tied up. And the farmer said, well, I thought I did. I tied him to an old transmission. What's the lesson learned? The lesson learned from that story is you follow what you are tied to. You follow what you are tied to. The band can come up here as we get ready to sing, but Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, or 1 through 3, encourage us to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and the deep darkness will cover all the people. Kind of seems dark nowadays, doesn't it? It goes on to say, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and the king's brightness of your people will be rising. You see, we can't keep God's power and grace in a jar just to be stored and just to pull it out when we need it, to reach in and say, fix me up, God. I need some healing. I need some of this. It's not meant to be. It's meant to be used as it is given. just like the manna in the Old Testament. It's used as it is given. You keep it, it's just going to rot in worms. And many Christians have been keeping God's grace just when they need it, and it's become festering worms, spiritually speaking. It's not to be stored, but to be lived out in the world, which so desperately needs it nowadays. All the efforts that you put forth did not get you in any doors and at the nick of time and at the right time. But sometimes when there looks like there's no time, God just breaks out on you and takes care of you. So always look for the physical, or always look for the spiritual root behind the physical fruit. Because a lot of times the things that we are looking at may not be the problem that needs to be dealt with. And so that's why we need to ask our Lord and Savior, the Jesus who knows where you are and where I am and how long we've been there, we pray, Lord, is it me? Is it me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? Is there something that I have not seen about me that has got in the way of you doing for me what I need you to do, Father? Lord, reveal it to me, because, Lord, I do want to be made well. And so the first thing that God does when we pray that kind of prayer is that we're really helpless, spiritually speaking, apart from a personal relationship from Jesus Christ. We approach him in a humble way. And a lot of people think that they know what that means, but it's better to be sure that your relationship with Jesus Christ is secure and in true to your heart. And sometimes we just need a little push to get us started. And believe in ourselves that God is at work in us, and he's going to work through us. Each of us has a purpose in life, and the hard part is that we let life take charge instead of our purpose many times. In our story today, the man was simply to stand up, pick up his bed, and walk at the command of Jesus. Now the question is, are we sitting around our pool waiting for something to happen? Are we depending upon somebody else to make it happen? When God's calling you within yourself, rise up. You're not sure what when the power of his presence is there to heal you all the time and to take care of your situation. If we just say, Lord, I believe, I receive you now to do what is necessary in my life and in my body. Lord, I receive. I know I don't have a spectacular sign, but I am rising up and I'm being healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let us as a people rise up to the light of Christ and respond to God's word. Respond to God's word and his prompting through the Holy Spirit. And it's all about coming as you are, with all your hurts, all your troubles. Come as you are. That's when he'll meet you and tell you to arise up, take up your pallet and walk. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you now for your word. Help us to believe in your word. Help us to understand your word, and help us to take your word as your powerful command to get up, to get us to get up and to rise up and to do whatever that you're commanding us to do. Father, give us the faith. Increase our faith. Father, for those who are here today who are hurting, for those who are needing your guidance, your wisdom, your deliverance, your healing, let them receive that today. Let them come to your throne. Let them come to your altar and submit themselves humbly to you for your cure in their life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faith. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you mostly for your love, your enduring love that you have for us, even when we are unlovely. Holy Spirit, give us the boldness now to come as you are, to come as we are before you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of the church say, amen. Let's rise and let's sing.